Day Zero was supposed to happen a couple of days ago, wasn't it? The first Day Zero. So some really interesting material. And one of them was, she normally writes mostly about sport, Ant, a.k.a. Antoinette Muller. And the first bit of what she has on the site at the moment, ADHD in adults, especially adult women, is far more common than anyone realizes. As a grown-up just recently diagnosed, it's been a roller coaster of a journey. Ant, good afternoon.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm very, very good indeed. How did it come to be that you were diagnosed as adult ADHD?
Yeah, so like I say in the piece, focusing and a lot of other things have always been an issue for me. But a few weeks ago, I did something so stupid. I left my house keys inside my gate or on the floor or somewhere. I left my house. And it's quite a common thing to forget your keys, but it's never been quite that bad. And it was just something that made me realize, look, I need to go speak to someone. So I went to go speak to my GP. He recommended a trial dose of medication to help with focus and attention. And the first pill that I took, the change in how I felt was just so remarkable that I thought, no, something's going on here. You shouldn't feel so normal taking something that, you know, is a stimulant. And I started doing a bit of research and I realized, well, I need to go see a psychiatrist. And I did, and after an assessment and, you know, taking down some symptoms and doing all those things, it changed my perspective on a lot of things.
So that first dose of Ritalin made you realize that there was something wrong?
Well, I felt normal for the first time in my life.
Yeah, made you realize that something had been wrong, which was now somehow being corrected.
I think that the best way, and I have seen a lot of people describe it like this, it's like when you put on glasses for the first time and you go, wow, this is what the world looks like, you know, and it's not a high, it's just a feeling of calm and normality.
As you say, all of us forget things. And look, I'm a lot older than you, and so maybe that has something to do with it. But I remember in my 40s leaving a Checkers, for example, and getting back to my car and put my keys down when I was packing my bags and left the keys there. So, I mean, this is something that all of us do. But you obviously feel that the focus and the forgetfulness, as you remember it now, was worse than what everybody does at least sometime.
Yeah, and it's not just focus and forgetfulness. You know, I think especially in women, the symptoms often manifest differently. So I'm very open about my mental health. And I think one of the big things that I've struggled with is that I have an incredibly short temper, and I have incredible difficulty controlling my emotions at times. And one of the other symptoms is impulse control. And just for me, increasingly, the more I learn about it, you know, this is a new journey for me, the more I'm like, wow, okay. So a lot of these symptoms that I've had since I was younger make sense. It's not just a child throwing a temper tantrum. It's not just freaking out because you're interrupting me or you know, you're talking to me and I'm busy with something else. It's a distinct issue where you have, you know, you have a chemical that's not functioning like normal people.
And you were bad at that. I mean, if you were working away on deadline and somebody came and talked to you, you wouldn't just say, please go away, I'm busy. You would launch at them.
Snap. Yeah. And that's another interesting thing is there is such a thing from what I've learned as hyperfocus, where you get so involved in doing, especially at the deadline, because when you're under pressure, your brain releases dopamine, which is what ADHD brains are lacking. So when you're under this pressure, filing under your deadline, you're great. But under normal circumstances, when you're not in that stressful situation, the brain isn't producing these chemicals. So, you know, I said to my mom yesterday, again, on my own accord, you know, I would never message my mom on my own free will, but I messaged her and I said, you know, for the first time in my life, I picked up my clothes and I finished showering. I've never done that. And it's little things like that that, you know, that you don't notice unless you're doing them. That's been a remarkable change for me.
So what would you have done before?
I just leave them there. They just grow into a massive pile until my partner, bless him, he picks it up because he knows I'm never going to do them. You know, so it's little things like that. It's a new journey. And like I say in the piece, you know, it's overwhelming and I'm sure it'll take many different angles, but Yeah, it's quite something.
So, thank goodness I've never had to deal with it personally in the sense of me, myself, or my children were never at risk of being diagnosed ADHD. But having listened to many discussions on the radio about this, there is a strong body of opinion that says avoid drugs as best you can. Try diet, try other means of dealing with the issue, and drugs should be a last resort. It's not everybody's view, but it is a fairly common view. You seem to have fallen into the yes, I'll take the drug quite easily.
Yeah, so for me, again, that was this other thing I mentioned. So people say, oh, exercise, eat healthily, and I'm already doing all that stuff. You know, I try to run every day if I can, and I'm quite open about if I don't go for a run, I certainly feel off kilter a bit more, but I eat a balanced diet. I'm already running or exercising 5 to 7 times a week. But still, there were just things that I just wasn't working for me. So it's trial and error, I suppose. If in a month or 2 months or 6 months down the line, I shall actually know what the side effects isn't worth it, then I might reassess. But I think also important, what I've learned is that medication helps you reach a baseline of functionality, where learning the routines and learning the behaviors that makes your life more manageable becomes possible. So it's about having that baseline of normality, so to speak, where I can now pee in the bathroom and that's not going to cause distress, or I can meet my mom and have a conversation with her without getting irritated, or I can do things that just normally, I don't know, they just don't feel possible sometimes.
It one thing that strikes me listening to the if the severity, for want of a better word, of the way you were dysfunctional in the world in the ways that you have described, kind of makes me wonder why you didn't look for a cause prior. It sounds as if a lot of the time, or some of the time, you were quite difficult and prickly, to put it mildly. Did you just say, well, that's Ant, that's who I am?
Partly, yes. Also, as I mentioned the piece, I was previously diagnosed with a different disorder when I was younger. I was put on medication for that and didn't see any improvements. And then it reached a stage where I was like, you know what, this medication isn't working for me. I'm going to stop this because it's making me feel worse. And then obviously I turned to the self-medication, you know, all the other stuff. I had issues with self-harming. I had, you know, all the alcohol and all those issues that sort of lead, you know, that you to try and solve these issues. And I just got so frustrated. And then eventually I reached out to like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my life healthy and I'm going to be great. But I still wasn't. And it's been a very, very long journey, probably 14 years in the making, that's led to this point.
But finally, you feel you've reached smooth tarmac on that journey.
I we'll see. You know, this is all very new. I wrote that piece because it's in the short time that I've been on this journey, it's been profound in my self-awareness and even my self-esteem. You know, I think a lot of the research points that people with ADHD tend to have incredibly low self-esteem, and that's certainly something I've struggled with my entire life. And I just hope that the best way to do it is to go see a psychiatrist. You know, there are self-regulation tests that might help you screen, but that's not a diagnosis. You know, Google [S2] Yeah. [S1] Is not a diagnosis, and you must, if you can, which of course is very difficult in South Africa, where, you know, I'm a huge mental health advocate, and I think we struggle to find the treatment, and especially people most at risk, you know, the treatment, the cost is just astronomical. So it's very important that if anyone thinks that there's something wrong with them, that they seek out the professional help that they need.
Antoinette Muller, writer of the Daily Maverick, thank you very, very much. I'm sure that and that wonderfully open and totally honest, vulnerable story that she told there is going to touch people. And if it helps change a journey that you're on that's not particularly productive for you, well, then I'm even more pleased that we spoke to Antoinette Muller this afternoon. John